it's tuned to yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden age. I'm Mark LeVonier. There's quiz programs in this hour. Later on, Double or Nothing from 1947. But first, it's the Quiz Kids from the 18th of March, 1951 on NBC.
Listen to it, fizz. Alka-Seltzer.
First.
Fast.
And always.
Yes, for first aid to fast relief from acid indigestion, headache, and misery of colds, always take Alka-Seltzer. And now, Alka-Seltzer presents the Quiz Kids and the chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly.
Yes, friends, it's time to have fun with America's famous quiz kids. And believe you me, we're going to have a bushel basket of fun this afternoon. For here to match brains with the quiz kids are five prominent members of the American Legion Women's Auxiliary. Back in November of last year, five brave men of the American Legion competed with the quiz kids and lost. This would never do, the ladies decided, so they're here this afternoon to do something about it. And if they win today, they'll not only defeat the quiz kids, but they'll be proving that women are smarter than men. Well, we'll see. Yes. All of the ladies here in the studio are very much in favor of that. Mm-hmm. Now, the male sex will be represented this afternoon by our panel of quiz kids, all boys. And so here we go with roll call. First, a quiz kid, then an auxiliary member. Joel?
I'm Joel Kupperman. I'm 14 years old, and I'm in 3A at Rosewood High School in Chicago.
And from Rockford, Illinois, the immediate past American Legion Auxiliary President, Mrs. Sheehy.
I'm Marie Sheehy from Rockford, and Mr. Kelly, I'm here to prove to the men of the Legion that even if we have the last word, it really counts, especially today.
Well, hooray for the ladies! And Lonnie?
I'm Lonnie Lundy. I'm 15 years old, and I'm a sophomore at Maine Township High School in Park Ridge, Illinois.
From Eastport, Michigan, past national president of the American Legion Auxiliary, Mrs. Pearl.
I'm Dorothy Pearl. You have me billed from Eastport, but I really am the original gal from Kalamazoo.
Good old Kalamazoo. Patrick?
I'm Patrick Owen Conlon. I'm 13 years old and a 1A at Calumet High School in Chicago.
And then a past national president from Clinton, Indiana, Mrs. Lemstra.
I'm Enid Lemstra. I don't know why I'm here unless it's to make a Roman holiday. But I, too, hope we can beat the Legion, though if we don't, it'll still be no criterion of how smart we are.
Next, we have little Harvey.
I'm Harvey Deitchel. I'm 8 years old.
Oh.
I go to British school in grade 3A.
Say, the birthdays go by fast, don't they, Harvey? And then the auxiliary's national secretary from Indianapolis, Indiana, Mrs. McDowell.
I'm Gwendolyn McDowell. I'm 39 years old.
Mrs. McDowell, I could come right over there and give you a big smacker for telling us that. Did you want to tell us anything further?
Nothing further.
All right. And now then, folks, a visiting quiz kid winner on a local quiz kid program over station WROW in Albany, New York, sponsored by the Savings Banks Association of New York State, Jay.
I'm Jay Katzel. I live at 655 Park Avenue, Albany. I go to school I'm 10 years old.
All right, fine. And the fifth member of our ladies' board from Verdon, Illinois, past president of the Auxiliaries Department of Illinois, Mrs. Seymour.
I'm Anita Seymour. I'm very happy to be here in Chicago's balmy climate today because central Illinois is covered with ice and sleet.
Well, there's our lineup. So attention, teams. Here's your first question from Marie Brown of Des Moines, Iowa. She says, we find many fairyland cities in fairy stories, but where would we find a story city? Mrs. McDowell?
In Iowa.
Well, why do you say that now? Tell us something about...
That's where I was born.
That's right. That is absolutely right. quiz kids better watch out. You're up against some tough competition here. Mrs. McDowell remembers where she was born. Now, here's a nature question from J.R. Stifler, Birmingham, Michigan. He tells us that the presence of skunks in an area actually makes it a better nesting place for ducks. Can you explain why? How about that? Harvey?
Well, if there are turtles around, turtles eat baby ducks.
Yeah.
But with skunks around, they eat turtle eggs. And when someone would get rid of skunks, well, of course, the turtles would get more numerous, and slowly but surely the ducks would vanish.
That's right, Harvey, my boy. That is right. You know, a little birdie tipped me off. The two of you ladies, Mrs. Pearl and Mrs. McDowell, are direct descendants of people who came over on the Mayflower. Now, for Mrs. Dewey Scheithe of Lombard, Illinois, I wonder if you can name at least four men who signed the Mayflower Compact way back in 1620. Let's see, Pat?
Well, there was Miles Standish and John Alden and John Carver and William Brewster and Martin Mullins and Christopher Martin and...
And Joel?
William Bradford.
Yeah, and Mrs. McDowell?
Richard Wan.
Fine.
And Don Holland.
Well, fine. I only asked for four, and I got about eight or nine there. Now, seeing as we have five ladies on one board and five men on the other, this should be a good time for some good, serious discussion on this question from Mrs. Mary Oakley of St. Louis, Missouri. Now, next year is leap year. And, oh, by the way, now, little Harvey here, he's only 8 years old. Harvey, do you know what leap year means?
No.
Don't you really?
No.
Well, wait a minute. Now, Jay's got his hand up. Will you explain to Harvey, Jay?
Well, leap year is when women have the chance to propose to the men.
Yeah, boy. So now then, how about that? What do you think about that? Is it all right for the ladies to propose to the men? Patrick?
Well, I don't really think the ladies ought to go so far as to propose to the men, and I don't think they actually do. Of course, they have various ways and means, but they've never actually come out and proposed.
Mrs. Sheehy.
And Mr. Kelly, I think it's fine because women have a better choice, you see, in matters. And I think when they select a husband, it's far better than when a husband selects a wife.
Yes. How do you like that? Lonnie?
Well, I agree with Pat. I don't think women should go so far as to propose. They can drop little hints if they...
if
they think the boy's really in love with them, but is just kind of hesitating to propose. But I don't think they should come right out and propose. I think that's a man's job.
You do, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, let's see. Mrs. Lamstra has her hand up.
According to our husbands, we all did.
Well, now that Harvey knows what this is all about, what would you say, Harvey?
Well, I would agree with Pat and Lonnie. The ladies just shouldn't come right out and propose. They do leave little hints and things, and it wasn't their love, but they really don't come out just and say, I'm in love with you or something.
You're not in favor of it, huh? Okay. All right, Harvey. All right, now on with the competition between the quiz kids and the members of the American Legion Women's Auxiliary. Mrs. Ann Williams of Washington, D.C. points out that certain legendary heroes have had some very unusual experiences with animals. Who was helped by a happy auger, and what job did the auger do for him? Jay?
Well, see, that was Feeble said when when he tried to settle Nebraska, the pioneers wanted fence posts, and he couldn't go all along Nebraska digging fence posts. So he tried to find a happy auger who had a tail like a drill, and hopped around like a kangaroo. Now, whenever he shot the gun, the auger would be scared. He would jump around digging fence holes. So when all the pioneers had to do was walk around putting the fence posts in the holes.
That's all right, Jay. Good boy. Now, Marjorie Davis of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, is proud of the role her hometown has played in presidential nominations. You must get 2 out of 3 on this. She asks, what president was the unanimous choice of all the delegates attending the party's convention in Philadelphia in 1900? What president? Joel?
Well, I believe that would be McKinley for president.
That's right. William McKinley is correct. Who was the unanimous selection of all the delegates at a convention in Philadelphia in 1940? Lonnie?
That would be Roosevelt.
Oh, no, Pat.
Wendell Willkie.
Wendell Willkie is right. Now, what president was the unanimous choice of all the delegates at a convention in Philadelphia in 1949?
Oh, Mr. Kelly. I was elected a president in Philadelphia, but I'm not that important, but I was a president.
Well, you certainly were! Good for Mr. Sheehy! That's right. Mr. Sheehy was elected national president of the American Legion Auxiliary by unanimous vote of 1,313 delegates in Philadelphia in 1949. Right now, folks, I want to remind you out there that we give away wonderful Alka-Seltzer awards every Sunday afternoon. That's right. You see, when a question is answered correctly, the Alka-Seltzer award is a fine Zenith transoceanic portable radio that gives worldwide reception no matter where you are. And it's really a dandy set, and one you'll be proud to own. On the other hand, when a question is missed, the Alka-Seltzer Award is a Zenith television set or a large console Zenith radio phonograph combination. The television set is the Zenith Buchanan, and believe me, it has everything. A new Super Range chassis to ensure the ultimate in performance. It has the sensational built-in picture magnet aerial, single knob automatic tuning, and the glare band black tube for clearer pictures. The large console radio phonograph plays all types of records and has AM and FM radio. So if you would like to try for one of these fine Zeniths, send in a question for our radio program. Address your questions to Quiz Kids, Box Y, Chicago 77, Illinois. Now then, Mrs. Mildred M. Richardson, I should say, of San Francisco, California, points out that all of you ladies must be pretty good at making speeches to have been elected to the high offices of the American Legion Auxiliary. So now, let's just suppose that each of you ladies is running for president of the United States. Now, we've never had a woman president, but we could have. And you are to make a 20-second speech appealing for the women's vote. Now, I say 20 seconds, that means you're going to have to talk fast and furiously. Now, you're not to touch on controversial political matters, but rather deal with the changes you would make of benefit to women. Now, we'll ring a bell when your 20 seconds is up. All right, now, we'll start off with Mrs. Sheehy. All right, are you ready? I'll get on your mark. 1, 2, 3... Go.
Am I speaking to the people who are going to elect me, Mr. Kelly?
You're out to get women's votes.
Oh, I see. Well, now, it's very unique that a woman is presenting herself for the President of the United States. But it so happens that I am anxious to have that position. And I promise you I'll stay around the White House all the time because I'm interested in gardening. And when you can't reach me on the phone, I'll be right out in the yard and you can send somebody.
Pearl will be next. 1, 2, 3, go.
As a candidate for the presidency of the United States, I feel that women should have more recognition than they have had in the past, and I intend to see that they do. Certainly, my esteemed colleague who spoke on this subject before has touched upon a subject that is dear to our heart.
I'm sorry. Time's up, Mrs. Pearl. All right. And Mrs. Lemster will be next. 1, 2, 3, go.
I wish to appeal to the women of the country. The women vote is very important. When we consider how much money the women have to spend each year, women should have more recognition in our government than we have. I ask you, please call me madam.
Time is up. And now Mrs. Seymour is next. 1, 2, 3, go.
Now, we women of the Middle West feel that we should have a very definite place in the government of this country. Now, the men have succeeded very much in muddling things up, and we think that we could do equally as well, if not better.
Time's up. Time's up. And lastly, we hear from Mrs. McDowell. One, two, three, go.
This is my first experience in asking for votes. You understand that I don't have to ask for votes. But I would like to propose a platform, an automatic washing machine for every woman in America.
All right, and time's up. Now then, we'll check with our board of quiz kids over here. If you boys were women, which one of these lady presidential candidates would you vote for? Now, how about that, fellas? Patrick?
Well, it was pretty close, but I think Mrs. Sheehy would get my vote.
Oh, you think so? Uh-huh. And how about the rest of you fellas, Lonnie?
Well, off the speeches themselves, I think it's kind of hard to judge. If they were running for president, I wouldn't vote for them on a 20-minute speech. I'd wait to see how well qualified each of them were for. But from the speeches alone, I think Mrs. Lemster...
You said 20 minutes. You meant 20 seconds.
20 seconds.
Well, that's right. They hardly got started. Joel?
Well, I'm afraid I'd have to go along with Lonnie and Dad. They all made good speeches, but...
I see. You're going along with Lonnie on that. Hey, Harvey?
Well, I really don't think the speech was long enough. If you got long enough, you might be able to figure out a few of the angles they might try in it.
Wonderful, wonderful. After all, you do have to figure out the angles, yes. Mm. Well, thanks very, very much, ladies. Now then, we'll get along here. For Ruth Ann Johnson of Portland, Oregon, you are to tell us what the following have in common. You must get 2 out of 3 on this one. First, in what way is a Massey and a Jane Cowell alike? Joel?
Well, they're both movie actors and actresses, aren't they?
Well, no. No, now, wait a minute. Mrs. Seymour?
They're dahlias, names of dahlias.
In this particular case, Joel, they're dahlias. All right, Mrs. Seymour. Now, in what ways are an echidna and a duck-billed platypus alike? Jay?
They're both egg-laying mammals.
That's very, very good, Jay. Very, very good. Now, in what way are Leslie Ford and Margaret Cherf alike? Mrs. Lemstra?
They write mystery stories.
They certainly do. That's right, huh? Now then, Mrs. Jean C. Anderson of St. Paul, Minnesota, is interested in the American Legion Auxiliary and points out that membership is open to the wives and sisters of American servicemen. She wants you to suppose there had been a Legion Auxiliary for wives of soldiers in Shakespeare's plays. In what plays would you find the following battles? Burnham Wood. Pat?
Macbeth.
Macbeth is right. How about the Battle of Agincourt? Joel?
Well, that's in Henry V.
Henry V. Absolutely right. Uh-huh. Mrs. Seymour, I hear that your husband is a dentist. So let's try this question from Richard Dennis of Chicago. Suppose that Dr. Seymour was filling teeth for these people. Which tooth-filling material would you consider most appropriate for each? First, how about the Lone Ranger?
Silver.
Fine. That's very good. You must hold your hand up, though, when you want to talk, you know. Mm-hmm. All right, fine. Now, a second part. Thomas J. Jackson. Thomas J. Jackson. Lonnie?
Well, that was Stonewall Jackson.
Stonewall Jackson. So, what kind of a filling now?
Well.
Oh, no.
Stone.
Joel.
Cement?
Cement, that's right. Cement, uh-huh. And how about William Jennings Bryan? All right, Mrs. McDowell?
Silver.
Silver, that's very, very good. You know, next Sunday is Easter, and all the ladies are shopping around buying their new Easter bonnets. Maybe we can be of some help to the ladies in how to choose a good-looking hat. And just as a starter, I have an Easter bonnet here, which I will model for you. Now, just a moment.
Frank, this is Frank Ferguson. I'm backstage where the quiz kids can't hear me. Mr. Keller is going to ask the kids what they think of the hat that he's modeling. Of course, they don't know it, but it really belongs to Mrs. Seymour.
It's sort of a sky blue pink or something like that. And now I will try it on. Let's see. Thank you very much. I'm glad you like it. And now tell me, what do you kids think about this little chapeau here? Joel?
Well, Daniel Boone never looked like Dan, and it does look like a...
Daniel Boone's hat, I don't know.
Mr. Kelly, I think that's very becoming on you.
Do you really? Yes. Harvey?
Well, if it was Daniel Boone, I think it's mixed up. The top should be in the bottom, and the bottom should be on top.
Maybe I have got it all wrong. Lonnie?
Well, if you go by the one main rule for women's hats, it's fine. It's different. It's like a hat I've never seen before.
Oh? Well, of course, if you fellows were married, would you settle for a hat like this for your wife? Huh? How about that, Pat?
That all depends on whether I have to pay for it or not.
Harvey?
That all depends on the price, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Really getting involved here, Lonnie?
Well, assuming it... I did have to pay for it, and it cost as much as a normal hat, any other hat. I would say it's acceptable.
Uh-huh. Well, on what age woman would you say that this hat would look most becoming? How about that? Lonnie?
Oh, about 32, I guess. A young woman, not a girl, but not anyone who's staring middle age in the face.
Staring middle age. That's cute. Pat?
Well, I'd have to string along with Lonnie. I think about 30 to 35 would be different.
You're upping it a little bit there, huh? 35. Joel?
Well, I'll up at 10 more and say 45.
Well, I know one lady who's been especially interested in hearing your comments, kids. Mrs. Seymour, will you tell us why?
Well, I'm fearfully flattered because, after all, that's my hat.
A lot of fun. Well, now then, we have a little surprise in store for you ladies. I was looking at Easter hats yesterday in the shop of one of Chicago's outstanding hat designers, Theodore, the American artist. And do you know what? Well, I arranged with Theodore to present each of you ladies with your choice of his own original creations with our compliments as a little Easter present. How do you like that? Well, let's see. Now, more questions. Jerry Smith of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, knows that we use the term sky high to describe today's prices, but he wants to know what we'd be talking about if we used the phrase sky low, low. Mrs. Seymour?
Wrestling.
Well, why do you say that?
The midget wrestler's name is Sky Low, Low.
Oh, and you have attended the wrestling bouts, have you?
Yes, via TV.
Oh, I see television. Well, good for you. Uh-oh. There's our bell. Well, now it's time for the judge's decision. They'll have the scores in just a minute, and we'll find out which team won. Well, now the judges have handed in the verdict. They report that as a class, you didn't miss any questions this afternoon. The five members of the American Legion Women's Auxiliary have a score of 105, and the Quiz Kids, 110. Well, congratulations, Quiz Kids, and congratulations to you, ladies. You certainly put up a good fight and really entered into the spirit of the occasion, ladies. And we're very, very happy to have you auxiliary members with us this afternoon. And our visiting quiz kid, Jay Katzel, too. You did mighty well, Jay. I know all your friends in Albany are proud of you. Well, now, two great friends, quiz kid Harvey Deitch and his little colt from the J.A. Ranch in Texas, are going to meet for the very first time on the Quiz Kids program next Sunday. this exciting event will be broadcast direct from the beautiful Emerald Room of the magnificent Shamrock Hotel in Houston, Texas. That's right, folks. Next Saturday, the Quiz Kids will board Braniff's Texan Air Flight. That's one of those big DC-6s of Braniff International Airways. And fly to Houston, Texas to meet Mr. Glenn McCarthy, owner of the Shamrock Hotel, Monty Ritchie of the J.A. Ranch, who is giving Harvey the little colt, and all of our good Texas friends. We're all looking forward to our visit to the Lone Star State, and I know all you folks will be anxious to hear the name that Harvey has selected for his little colt. He will christen her next Sunday and tell us who sent in the winning name. And now, friends, until next Sunday, when we'll all be together in Houston, Texas, this is Joe Kelly dismissing the Quiz Kid. Goodbye, kids.
Bye, Mr. Kelly.
Goodbye, ladies.
Goodbye, Mr. Kelly.
The Quiz Kids on Tuned to Yesterday from March 18th, 1951 on NBC. Part of that network's Sunday afternoon lineup at 3:30. They had been on the air for 11 years at that point, drawing around 4 million listeners a week. You're listening to an hour of quiz shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark Levonier. Now time for Double or Nothing from April 20th, 1947 on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
And now it's Double or Nothing, the thrilling quiz show with a $100 question and your paymaster of ceremonies, Todd Russell. Thank you. Thank you very much, Fred B. Cole, and hello out there, everybody, everywhere. We're all set to play Double or Nothing again with a fine group of contestants from all parts of these United States. And who is first to our microphone, Fred?
He is Jimmy Salvato of Paterson, New Jersey.
Jimmy, nice to see you. Come on over here, man. Jimmy, it's really nice to welcome you to Double or Nothing tonight. May we ask what you do over there in Paterson, New Jersey, Jim?
I'm manager of the Paterson Rod and Gun Store.
Oh, boy. Do you do any hunting and fishing yourself?
Oh, you bet. In fact, our whole family's fishermen. And my daughter, Joan, happens to be the women's national fly champion for the last 4 years.
Oh, that is really fine. You mean she travels all around the country giving exhibitions and
yes,
things like
does.
That?
Yes, she does. She's right in Providence tonight.
Gee, well, look, just...
Nice exhibition on her.
I'll bet you. Just between you and me, Jim, does your daughter ever get any time off to go fishing?
You bet.
Even that too, huh?
Oh, yes.
Well, Jim, suppose you and I go fishing right here and now for one of these crisp new $100 bills. Is that all right with you?
Well, try it.
Sure. First of all, with our Phenomen Grand Slam question for the big extra prize. Here's the way the question goes. In miles per hour, what was the fastest baseball throw ever recorded? In miles per hour, Jim?
Let's see.
We want to get your estimate on this. He's thinking. You have a few seconds to think about it, Jim. In miles per hour, what was the fastest baseball throw ever recorded?
I'll say 100 miles per hour.
100 miles per hour. Down it goes is your estimate. Jim, you have a Double or Nothing session on political or rebellious groups. Now, here's what happens. We name the group, and you tell us in what country it started. Now, like for the first Phenomen 5 here, in what country were the black shirts? Born.
Oh, that's Italy.
Yes, Fasci's party in Italy, and that's $5 to you. And now for another Phenomen 5 here. Where did the Orange Men found their group? No, not the sun-kissed Orange Men, John. No. No, these are the Orange Men. These were further east.
Ireland.
Yes, in Ulster, Northern Ireland, 1795. That's another 5 to you, Jim. You've won $10. For another Phenomen 5, in what country did we find the once powerful Junkers? That's
Germany.
Yes, that's right. The land-owning nobility in Germany. You've won $15. You're doing well. For 5 more, in what country did the Mafia originate? The Mafia.
Well, that's Sicily, part of Italy.
Yes, Italy is... that's exactly right. You've won another $5, Jim. You're doing well here. No hesitation at all. Well, now you've won $20 for still another Phenomen 5. In what country did the Huguenots first organize? In what country did they first organize, the Huguenots?
They emigrated here. They come
from
either Belgium or France.
Let's pin you down. Which one, Belgium or France, Jim?
French Huguenots.
You've won $25 from Benjamin. That's right, Jim. Jim, you've won that $25 now. Is that going to be all? Or will you try for the Phenomen 50, Double or Nothing?
I'll try.
Good for you. Okay. It's a good sport. All right, Jim. Here we go, and it's for $50. Where did the Boxers cause all that trouble?
That was the Boxer Rebellion. That's China.
Yes, that's sure. Exactly right. Boy, Tim, that, you're doing very well, and you've won that scene of in 50 now. How about, is that going to be your limit? Or will you risk that 50 to try for $100?
Let's double, shoot the works.
Or shoot the works, he says. Right. Well, good for you, man. Here we go. Miss, for $100, in what country did the Jingos organize to practice jingoism?
What was that? The
Jingoes. Oh, J-I-N-G-O-E-S.
Oh, I read something about that not long ago. Jingoes.
You got a few seconds, Jim.
Jingoes.
In what country did they organize the Jingoes? That was to practice jingoism.
Let's see, British Isles. England.
That is exactly right, Jim. There's your $100. Stay with us for the grand slam question.
Our next contestant is a lady visitor from Washington, D.C. Todd, meet Miss Priscilla Morgan.
Miss Morgan, it's certainly nice to meet you. Come on over and say hello.
Hello.
Really good to have you with us here tonight. You happen to work for the government down there in Washington, Miss Morgan?
No, right now I'm sort of doing a little freelance writing.
I see. What form of writing are you doing?
Well, I'm doing some serious work on a book. I've been writing quite a bit of poetry, but that just feeds the soul, so I guess I've got to try and do something to feed my body, too.
I see. We've heard about it. Well, you're working on a book, huh?
That's right.
I've been working on some books myself, but it seems no matter how much work I do, they just don't seem to balance. It seems to be that extra lunch money, I guess. Well, now, I'll tell you what. Best luck with your book, and best luck with your questions right here, Miss Morgan. First, our Fenneman Grand Slam question for the big extra prize. We want your estimate. In miles per hour, what was the fastest baseball throw ever recorded?
I'll say exactly 90 miles.
How was that, 90?
90
miles, all right. Down it goes, then, is your estimate. And, Miss Morgan, I see you're going to consort with some of your fellow authors in your try for this $100 bill. Now, each of these authors has written a Pulitzer Prize-winning novel. Here's what happens. We name the novel, you name the author. Now, for the first Fenneman 5, the novel is Gone with the Wind.
That would be Margaret Mitchell.
It would indeed. And our first 5 is Gone with the Wind right now. For $5 more, Miss Morgan, the novel this time is Grapes of Wrath.
John Steinbeck.
You're way ahead of me. That's fine. Good. And you've won $10. Now, here's another Fenneman 5. Another Pulitzer winner. This time it's Dragon's Teeth. Who was the famous author? Dragon's Teeth. Don't coach out there. Let Miss Morgan do it. She's doing well here. It's a Pulitzer winner, Dragon's Teeth. Now, who was...
Is that a recent book?
The famous author. Comparatively recent book, yes. Very famous author. I'm sure you know him, Miss Morgan.
Man, did you say? Was it a he?
Yes, I let myself in for that. It was a he, uh-huh. Yeah? Famous author. Dragon's Teeth.
Would that be, Markland?
Oh, no. I'm awfully sorry, Miss Morgan. Upton Sinclair.
Oh,
she knew it all
that.
The time. She couldn't think of it, that's all. However, you have won that $10, Miss Morgan. You may win some more
thank
money
you.
On our Grand Slam question. Good luck to you. Thank you.
Next to our Double or Nothing microphone, Todd, is a post office clerk. Meet Murray Rosenberg of New York City.
I'll say so, Murray. Nice to meet you.
Awfully good to welcome you to Double or Nothing tonight, too.
Which, you all set there? He was getting set at the microphone. Which post office do you work in?
The U.S. Mark? Post office.
The which?
The U.S. Post office.
What's the matter? It's a monopoly.
Well, I led with my chin again. No, I guess nobody's going to cut in on your business, Murray.
Neither.
I really meant which station in New York.
Oh, I'm down at the main branch, 34th and 8th Avenue.
Oh, sure. And how about that postal zoning system, Murray? How does that work?
But, gee, that's so simple, I can only confuse it. I'll try to confuse it for you.
Try to confuse it?
Oh, sure. I'm confused already. Let me see now. The whole city is broke down into zones, or little sections. And when you put the number that they tell you to put on, it makes it simpler this way. When they box up all these letters, they have to have men who know the city scheme in order to say, well, if a letter was going to 2122 Park Avenue, you would have to know what station it went to.
Uh-huh.
But if he saw number 22 in parenthesis next to 2122 Park Avenue, he would throw it right into a box marked number 22.
I can
see. That would expedite the mail.
I see. Well, I can certainly see how that zoning would certainly eliminate confusion, Murray. Now, I'll tell you what.
I'm confused now.
Well, we're both confused together, Murray. Let's do our Phenom and Grand Slam question here for that big extra prize. We want your estimate. In miles per hour, what was the fastest baseball throw ever recorded?
Oh, about 120 miles an hour.
120 miles per hour. Down the close is your estimate. And Murray, your Double or Nothing session is called Places and Products. We name the place, you tell us the product for which it is famous. Now, for instance, for the first Phenom in five, we name Newcastle. You name the product for which it is famous.
Coal.
Yes, coal is exactly right, and you've won $5. Now, for another Phenom in five, the place is Sheffield. What do we get from
steel.
Sheffield? Which is that?
Steel.
Sure, silverware, cutlery, fine steel. That's right, and you've won $10. Here's another Phenom in five if you answer this question, Murray. The place is Kimberley.
Diamonds.
Oh, he's right there. Sure, diamonds. And you took him. Still another Phenom in five here. The place is Malaga. You name the famous product of...
Grapes, I'd say. I don't know. Malaga grapes.
That's all right. And wine. Sure, that's fine. You've won $20. Here's another Phenom in five. The place this time is Belfast. What
well, that's
is...
linens. Irish linens.
He's right there with these. You've won $25 from Phenom, right? Now, how about... Is that going to be your ceiling or will you
no,
try...
No, go ahead. Here goes my vacation.
All right. You mean we're to go ahead for $50? Right. Murray, the place this time is Limoges, France. What famous product do we get from Limoges? Don't quote, please. It's L-I-M-O-G-E-S.
Oh, that's the chinaware or... Isn't Limoges... Is, no, that's...
You're all right, Portland, China. You won that $50 now. You mean we're going to eliminate all this and go after $100, huh? All right, here we go. For $100, the place is Carrara, Italy. Name the famous product. Don't poach, please. That is not Carrara Bouvier. Carrara. C-A-R-R-A-R-A. Carrara, Italy. A very famous product comes from there. We'd like you to tell us for one.
All I can think about Italy would be cheese. I don't know. I've never heard of any cheese by that name.
Oh, I'm awfully sorry, Murray. No marble. Very fine marble from Carrara, Italy. I'm awfully sorry, Murray. But you stay with us for that Phenom and Grand Slam question. Good luck to you on it. Thanks to you, Murray Rose.
Todd, our next guest is a lady from Philadelphia. Meet Miss Dolores Dawson.
That is indeed a pleasure. Miss Dawson, come on over.
How do you do, Mr. Dawson?
Real nice to see you. May we ask, what is your work, Miss Dawson?
Well, I'm a model, freelance.
Well, boy, I'll bet you're a good one, too. She's a very, very pretty young lady, isn't she? I'll bet you're a good one. Now, say, is it true, Miss Dawson, that they teach models to walk gracefully by having them walk around with objects on their heads like books and chairs and tables and stuff like that?
Well, the books, at least.
The books, at least. I thought there must have been some easier way of moving furniture. Well, now, Miss Dawson, let's move right now to our Phenom and Grand Slam question for the big extra prize. Yeah, we want to get your estimate. In miles per hour, what was the fastest baseball throw ever recorded, would you say?
I'd say about 110.
110 miles per hour. There it goes. It's your estimate, Miss Dawson. And you have for yourself a Double or Nothing session on music. Matter of fact, we might call it What's Wanted, because there's something wanted in the title of each one of these songs. Now, for the first Phenom in five, what's wanted in this particular song? Will you play it for us, Victor?
I'm happy and want you to be happy now.
Well, what would you say you wanted to be?
Happy.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. I want to be him. All right, these are all What's Wanted songs, Miss Dawson, and you've won $5 to start you on your way. Now, for the next Phenom in five, what is wanted in this song title? Listen as Victor Powell plays it. Like the girl. That's fine, and you've won $10. Now for another Phenom in five, what isn't wanted this time, what is not wanted in this song title. Listen carefully, here's the music.
I don't want to set the world on
yes,
fire.
Yes, I don't want to set the world on fire. Good. That takes off $15, Miss Dawson, and you won't set the world on fire with that, so let's go right after another Phenom in five, huh? With another want song title. Now see if you know it. Here's the music right here.
for
it. Come on, what do you want to make those eyes at me for? Good, and $20 goes to you.
Now, here's for another scene I'm in five. What does the singer of this song want? Listen. You've won $25 now from Phenomint, Miss Dawson. How about it? Is that going to be all for you? Or will you try another of our wants here? For the Phenomint 50, double or nothing.
I'll try.
Good for you. Here we go then. For $50, what is wanted in this popular song? Now listen, here it is.
What is that again?
Mama, you care. What is that? What is the English translation? I want
my mama.
Yes, that's exactly right. Huh. What you want? I want my mama. The Phenomint 50 is now yours, Miss Dawson. How about, is that your limit? Or will you try for $100, double or nothing?
I'll try.
All right, good for you. Here we go then. And it's for $100. What is wanted in this old favorite by Romberg from The New Moon it is? Here it is. Here's the music. Folks out here are all thinking hard about that one. Miss Dawson, what do you think? It's by Sigmund Romberg, and it's from The New Moon. Now, does that help? And something is wanted.
I want love. Something to do with love.
No.
Let me think. Oh, I know it so well.
Just a few more seconds, Miss Dawson. Just a few more seconds to go.
I want my lover.
Oh, no, I'm awfully sorry, Miss Dawson. The song is I Want What I Want.
When I want it.
Oh, she knew it all the time. Miss Dawson, you stay with us, though, for that Grand Slam question. You may win some money on it. Good luck to you, and thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Here's a lady visiting from Newton, Massachusetts. Meet Mrs. Eileen Kelly.
That's a pleasure. That's a pleasure. Mrs. Kelly? Welcome to New York and welcome to Double or Nothing.
Thank you.
That is Mrs. Kelly, isn't it?
Mrs.
Uh-huh. Are you a housewife, Mrs. Kelly, or do you work?
Well, that's what being a housewife is.
Oh, really? I was only kidding, Mrs. Kelly. How about us going right to work right now on you making some money? Is that all right with
Fine.
You?
Fine.
Good. Let's try, first of all, with our Phenomint Grand Slam question for the big extra prize, which goes, in miles per hour, what was the fastest baseball throw ever recorded? We want an estimate from you, Mrs. Kelly.
Well, I'll just guess. About 95 miles.
95 miles. Down it goes, then. Now, Mrs. Kelly, I see that you're taking on a Double or Nothing session about fighting words. Now, you will try to give us five historic phrases of fighting words. There are lots of them. Phenomint will pay you $5 for each phrase, up to five. On your mark, get set, and here we go.
Don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes.
That's fine. You've certainly got the idea. Good, that's fine.
54-40 or fight.
Fine one. That's another fine.
I will be back. I will return.
Yes, I'll
MacArthur.
Say that. Yes, very, very good. That's three. Fine one. That was indeed.
Give me liberty or give me death.
Very good. That's four. Let's get one more, can we? We've got a few seconds to go.
Watch for the day. It's the 7th of May.
Gee, what's that? I don't think I know that one. What's the day?
I've heard it on the radio. I'm not sure what it is.
Is it all right? All right. All right. Nothing special. I don't know whether I'm being taken or not, Mrs. Kelly. We're going to call that $25 you just won for Phenomint. Now, how about, is that going to be enough for you? Or will you try for the Phenomint 50, double or nothing?
Oh, I'll try.
Good. All right. Here we go for $50 then. This time within 15 seconds. Give us three famous American fighting slogans or phrases, beginning with the word remember. There were many. Now, on your mark, get set, and here we go.
Remember the Alamo.
Very good. One.
Remember the Maine.
Yes, that's
remember
all.
Pearl Harbor.
Now, that's three. All right. Very well done. Go. Go. No trouble at all for you, Mrs. Kelly, and you've won the Phenomen 50. How about, is that your limit? Or will you again risk your winnings to try for $100, double or nothing?
Oh, I'll try.
He's going to try. Good for you. It's for $100, and here's the question. What was the single fighting word shouted by our paratroopers as they hit the silk in World War II?
Geronimo.
Oh, she's right there. There's the $100. Gentlemen, we announced the song I Want What I Want When I Want It as being composed by Sigmund Romberg. We are at fault. The composer, of course, was Victor Herbert. Sorry. Now, who's next to our microphone, Fred?
An ex-Navy man, Todd. Let's have a real devil or nothing welcome for John Stack.
Hey, John, it's nice to see you, man. Come on over here.
Glad to see you, Todd.
Boy, oh, boy. Where do you hail from, John?
Buffalo, New York, sir.
Buffalo, New York. Uh-huh. And how long were you in the Navy?
3.5 years.
Gee, Whiskers, what kind of work do you do, John?
An advertising salesman, space.
Space salesman?
Mm-hmm.
Say, you couldn't sell me a little space for a family of two, could you? I mean, with a southern exposure and all.
Not real estate, space.
Oh, space, advertising space. All right, John, first of all, your estimate of our Phenomen Grand Slam question for that big extra prize. In miles per hour, what was the fastest baseball throw ever recorded, would you say?
102.5 miles per hour.
102.5 miles per hour. Down it goes. John, your Double or Nothing session is on the subject of curiosity.
Uh-huh.
Now, for the first Phenomen 5, name the man whose curiosity about a falling apple led to the discovery of a great fundamental law. Remember?
Newton.
Yes, it was Isaac Newton. You won $5. Now, for another Phenomen 5, whose curiosity caused her to be turned into a pillar of salt?
In the Bible,
Yes, was?
Saul's wife, I think, wasn't it?
Somebody's wife, not Saul's. You could get a lot closer than that, John, if you just think for a minute. You can get lots closer than that.
Lots wise.
Yes, lots wise. That's right. $10 for one. Now, another Phenomen 5, whose curiosity caused him to be the only man to look at Godiva on her famous ride through the streets of Coventry, England? This Peeping Tom actually lived. He was a tailor. He really lived. Can you name this Peeping Tom for us, John? His nickname became synonymous with clandestine ogling, you might say. Do you know who that Peeping Tom was, what they called him?
It wasn't Peeping Tom.
It was. You're right. You're exactly right, John. $15 to you. Now for another Phenomen 5. Name the explorer born before the year 1500, whose curiosity about a then supposedly flat world led him to embark upon a round-the-world cruise. Remember?
Columbus.
No. This cruise was completed in 3 years. Can you name the explorer we've described? It wasn't Columbus.
America's Vespucius?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh.
John, we're thinking of Magellan.
Oh.
Gee, I'm sorry, John, but you have won $15. You stay with us for the Grand Slam question. You may win some more money on it. Thank you. All right, now here is the answer to our Grand Slam question for that big extra prize. The question was, in miles per hour, what was the fastest baseball throw ever recorded? Well, we had some very interesting estimates. Jimmy Salvato, his estimate was 100 miles per hour. Priscilla Morgan, 90. Murray Rosenberg, our post office clerk, 120. Mrs. Dawson's estimate was 110. Jim Stack, 95. And Eileen Kelly, 102.5. Oh, we got those mixed? Well, a lot of very, very close guesses. Now, here is that correct answer. A new record for pitching speed was set last August 20th. By pitcher Bob Feller of the Cleveland Indians. He threw a baseball whose speed was measured at the rate of 98.6 miles per hour. Yes, sir, that baseball was clocked at exactly 98.6 miles per hour. Now, the contestant who came nearest to this figure then was, our very first contestant, Mr. Jim Salvato. Jim, big extra prize for you. We're going to give you a chance to make even more money along the same line. We're going to give you 1 minute, and Phenomen will pay you $10 for each and every game you name which is played with a ball of any kind. Now, there are some 300 such games, and we're going to pay you $10 for each and every one you name in 1 minute. The bugle call will signal when your time is up, Jim. On your mark, get set, and here we go. Jim, come on. Lots of games.
Baseball.
Yes.
Basketball.
That's 20.
Football.
30. Now he's
soccer, going. Soccer.
40.
Bowling.
$50.
Golf.
60.
Tennis.
70.
Handball.
$80.
Water polo.
$90.
Squash.
$100.
What? Pinball.
Yes. All right. Pinball. $110.
Roulette.
$120.
Water polo.
Yes. $130.
Softball.
$140. Can we make... $140? You're doing...
Ping pong?
Yes, $150. $150? Can we make it $160, Jim?
I forget. Golf? Did I mention golf?
I think you said golf. Golf. Yes. We're at $150, Jim. Come on.
Yes,
$150?
Marbles?
Billiards? $160, $170, all right.
Three-cushion pool.
Oh,
pocket billiard, that would be.
All right, that is part, all right. $180? Gee, you're doing all right, Jim. Can we get some more? $180? Let's make
what
it.
What about volleyball? That's right.
Oh, boy, there goes our bugle call. That is a total, though, of $190. Jim, did you win $100 before?
Yes, I did.
That means you won a grand total tonight of $290. Congratulations, Jim. Ladies and gentlemen, that the gentleman finally broke the lady's long-term winning streak on this program. The gentleman, Jim, winning exactly $290. But congratulations again to each one of our contestants. When they call. This is Todd Russell inviting you to listen again next week and match wits with our contestants. Yes, there's going to be more fun, more laughs, the Phenomint Grand Slam question for that big extra prize. There'll be hundreds of dollars
save
in cash
prizes.
Hey, wait a minute. Take it easy, lady. Save you from what?
Save me from acid indigestion.
Well, that's where I come in, ma'am. Here, have a Chews. Chews sweetens your breath as it sweetens your stomach. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Double or Nothing, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 20th of April, 1947, on the Mutual Broadcasting System. At the time of that episode, they were sort of rivaling the Quiz Kids, with around 7.5 million people tuned in Sunday nights at 9:30, where the Quiz Kids in 1947 were drawing about 8 million earlier in the day and on a different network. And that's it for this hour of quiz shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be with us again for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.